We are continuing our shiur on the Chazon Ish. I think this is probably the last week, unless we have one next week. And let's try to talk about a very important topic today, and one that has, I think, had a good deal of discussion, but sometimes it's spoken about from one angle, and I want to try to speak about it from a couple of other angles. Let's start like this. If you look in source number one, an article from Dr. Chaim Waxman, many of us are probably familiar with, although some of us maybe not, that there's a lot of conversation that started probably towards in the second half of the 20th century about how the firm world as a whole, in America, it's true in Eretz Yisrael also, has shifted towards more and more chumras. That you have shifts that have taken place within the community as people are more and more machmir. Why that is so Professor Waxman maintains because there are a variety of different sociological factors that may have led to it. There are other kinds of theories out there. Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik wrote very, very, very famously in Rupture and Reconstruction about this a little bit, that there became, from his perspective, a bit of a shift, that it used to be that people would do a, they would learn a lot and they would act based on what they saw in their home and in their community. At some point in 20th century, things break down a little bit, and instead of looking towards our parents or our community to figure out what to do, suddenly we start looking much more in Sfarim. And once they're looking much more in Sfarim, especially when you're dealing with the world of the Mishnah Berurah and the like, that may lead you to more chumras. In general, I want to give a... So that's part of why it's a very relevant topic. It's something which you're going to hear a lot about. Chumras and kulas, and when are chumras good, and when are kulas good, and when is each one... When's there negative fallout of chumras, and when's there negative fallout of kulas. I want to try today to really do the following. I want to give a bit of a hakdama to chumras and kulas in general to try to just get us some sort of sensitivity to what we're going to be speaking about. And I want to then speak about three mahalchim of those who tend to be more machmir. The Chasam Sofer, the world of Brisk, and the Chazon Ish. If we had a second week on this, we would then speak about those who play up the value of kula. Because we don't have a second week and we're learning Chazon Ish. He's going to have the last word, and in this case, he's going to have the only word as far as the pro chumra more or less side. And I want to understand exactly where they come from. But let's start like this. In general, there are many different kinds of chumras when you speak about chumras. There are those who are going to refer to things as chumras that are really explicit halachos. That's going to sometimes be experienced as a chumra because maybe I wasn't aware of the halacha, but I'm not sure if we would necessarily refer to that as being a chumra in the classical sense. If it's explicit, and if any posek is going to come to the exact same conclusion, because it's fairly clear in Shas and Poskim, so I don't know if we refer to that the same way as a chumra. Chumras that we speak about, though, usually come about for a couple of different reasons and in a couple of different ways. Sometimes there are chumras that emerge primarily from suffik. I'm not sure what to do, and therefore I want to be machmir. I have a hard time clarifying what the halacha is. I don't know if, as an example, close to some people in this room, I don't know if berekas, if I'm supposed to, when I'm supposed to wash, when I'm supposed to make mizonos, therefore I'll just be machmir and I'll always wash on bread. That kind of like an orientation of misafik, I'm going to try and be a bit more machmir. There are also sometimes where I'm machmir not because of a safik. Sometimes I'm machmir more as a siag. The Mishnah in the beginning of Maseches Afo is asu siag l'Torah. That's an idea which is true for Chazal. It's true for also on the individual level. That's in Maseches Yesharim and Shlah and some others. That we want to have siagim. I'm not right now mesupak if it's mutter or usser, but I'm nervous that if I do this, it's going to end up causing me to violate a particular avera. So I'm machmir not because I'm not sure how we paskin or I'm not sure of the metzias. I'm machmir because I am nervous what's going to happen. So I build certain siyagim. I say I'm machmir not to walk on that street because I know if I walk on that street, I'm going to end up going into the non-kosher restaurant and eating food there. It's not a chumra misafik, it's a siyag that you're going to have. Sometimes also you're machmir, not really out of a suffix, but out of reasons of personal piety, out of reasons of tzidkus. Sometimes I'm machmir, I know that re'ikir hadin in the halacha is like this. It's not really a siyag, but you have sometimes there are people who say, I want to try to hold myself to an even higher standard. That there are shitas out there, and even though really you could be mekel, I want
to be machmir, like the Gemara says in Brachos, afalpi, that you can be mekel for achirim, ani machmir al atzmi. The Gemara says that sometimes we have a phenomenon, Yosef Engel, I think, even collects a list of this phenomenon, of where it can be mekel for others and machmir for myself, because I hold it's really mutter, I don't have sfeikos, that's why I'm comfortable being mekel for others, but I want to hold myself a little bit to a higher standard. So you have different ways of relating to Chumras Kichlal. What we're going to talk about is a little bit of all of these things, and we're speaking about primarily, again, these thinkers, the where their Chumras come from, how they think you could be Machmir. We don't have enough time to do a good enough job on any of these, but hopefully we can at least introduce and become familiar a little bit with, you know, where they come from. So let's start by talking about Chasam Sofer a little bit. Again, different kinds of chumras. Let's see where his chumras come from. But with the Chazanish, with Brisk, and with Chasam Sofer, we're not arguing that they have no kulas. We're not arguing that that they're always machmer in all questions. We are trying to argue that all three of these individuals or worlds do have an element of chumra in them, and that they're machmer a little bit for different reasons. Let's start like this. Chasam Sofer has the following orientation. We're going to see some things that I think are fascinating. The one thing which people know about the Chasam Sofer is his citation of a Mishnah in Meseches Orla. He is citing that Mishnah in Orla, not Aliba. He's not, in terms of what it actually means, it's not the pshat of the Mishnah, but it is a very important Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about the Yisr of Chadash, certain kinds of food before you offer the Omer offering on Pesach. You're not allowed to eat you can't eat the new grains. The Mishnah has a line of Chadash Asar Min HaTorah B'chol Makom. The Chadash, it is an Isser of Chadash which applies in all places, be it in Eretz Yisrael, be it in Chutz La'aretz, etc. There's always considered to be an Isser of Chadash. The Chasam Sofer writes in Tshuvas in a couple of places, but in Orach Chaim, Smin Kuf Mem Ches, is where he writes it very nicely. He's talking about a Shaila here about heating up the mikveh on Yontif for women. Chasam Sofer lives in Pressburg. I know nothing about Pressburg, but my guess is that it got cold there sometimes. They had a shayla about heating it up or not. And he talked about how the Nodeb Yehuda may have been make on it in certain cases and things like that. So he writes, V'roy lismuch aleihem, v'kolshkim v'makum refua metzuya, that sometimes one could be makel with elements of this question. V'hagam ki eineni matir, I'm not matir, that's ki miyirei hara anochi, v'ani sone chadashos, I'm scared to be a mor hora, all my hundreds of tshuvas notwithstanding, and I am sonecha. What he means is that he doesn't want to be too innovative and too original. And he's sonecha dashos. I don't like new things. I'm very cautious of new things. Umargula bepume hachados aser min haTorah b'chol makom. I often quote that line, chados aser min haTorah b'chol makom. That things that are new, I very much don't like. Aval b'mekomo shenagula hatok yeras. I go to my now ain't. Sichem osam. Then we're going to be. You can be more makel, but fundamentally, says the Chasam Sofer, I have an orientation of Chas Asam and Torah b'chol makom. What's going on here? The Chasam Sofer. This is again. There's a lot of more nuance here, but I want to just highlight it a bit. The Chasam Sofer lives in a world when she's very much fighting elements of Haskalah and reform. Here, there are a lot of threats to this community. One of the things that the Chasam Sofer is going to argue is that dafka, because I am living in a time in which people are a bit weaker. Dafka, because I'm living in an era in which people are not observing things the way that they really should. So says the Chasam Sofer, maybe as a result of that, it would, there are going to be a lot of things that I'm going to aser, as a protective measure for the community. That, in many ways, is not as much for internal halachic reasons. Now, I'm not saying he would say things that are not internally halachically correct. But that element of Chumrah is not one because in the sugya of heating up water in Yontif for internal reasons. But you see, even in here, part of it is a general concern with things that are new. Chasam Sofer even goes a little bit further. Say for Darchi Horav, the Maritz Chiyas, so he quotes a tshuva of the Chasam Sofer to him. The shaila was about the following, Halanas Hames. There was a particular tkufa in Jewish history where there was a desire, where the government wanted to establish a law that you cannot bury dead bodies immediately. You have to wait, I think, maybe 3 days, even have to wait a couple of days, in order to be able, this is like famous stuff in the brain death trials, I think, you have to wait a couple of days in order to make sure that the body is really dead, the person is really dead. Okay. So So Shiloh is there about it. The problem is we missed the rice of Halanas on Mace. Yeah, you have to bury right away. So that's the context. Says the Chasam Sofer as follows. I think it's Asar Min HaTorah. You can't do this at all. He says, Hine Loka Tafti Orlo V'Kelayim U'Pigalo Yeratze Kiyim HaChadash. That's not okay. You have the Chadash is considered to be Asar. And I'm very scared of Penyatza Pirtzos Gidarim V'Isha Yashar Be'en Av Yasa. I'm nervous that if new things become allowed, everyone's going to do whatever they want. And therefore, we have to hold the line a little bit. And now he says something which is wild. He writes, Ani katafti halanas hameis yesh bo asei velo sasei. I wrote this issur of not burying a body is both nisur asei and nisur lo sasei. Ki al kopanim haramban kasav kein. The Ramban at least writes that. Ve'inafkusa ladina bizman hazel ladina. It doesn't matter nowadays whether it's an asei and a lo sasei or a derabanan, etc. Either way, it's asur. Vitov lehaalos haisur. It is better, says Chasam Sofer sometimes, to play up that something is Aser. Even if really it's only a lo sasei, it's valuable to say it's really a lo sasei and an asei. Says Chasam Sofer that if you live in a world in which Dine Dirabanan, as an example, are not taken so seriously, you have people that don't care that much about Dirabanan, that's like the, like, Shomrigi is only Durabanan, you know, kind of a phenomenon. So when you have that, whatever, if any of you have not yet taught people in high school in like that kind of setting, like you'll hear that line and you're going to think it's like so cliche, like who would even ever say that? And then you're going to hear it and you're going to say, I guess that kid. So when you, what you have here, says the Chasam Sofer, is that there are times when people aren't taking Durabanan so seriously. And when people, so you're going to have to play it up. Now, it's not dafka that akadekach that you're going to make things out of nowhere. You're going to make arguments, but your orientation's going to be walking into it. Tov laha losa iser. We're fighting a battle. We have a generation that's falling a little bit. And therefore, I have to do my best laha losa iser. Now, the Maharshchai is there, if you look in the sheet. Source number 9, he has a ha'ara there, that Chuvah Chasam Sofer. He is not like it at all. So you can't do that at all. He thinks Adarab of Alomar is their abundance, Swiss or Torah, that's Nisr of Baltosif. You certainly can't do it. The Chasam Sofer wasn't doing this, but you certainly can't take Nisr Dura abundance, say it's Nisr Doraisa, and claim that that's okay. That's Nisr of Baltosif. Part of Nisr of Baltosif for the Rambam is taking that which is not the Oraisa and presenting it, Kiyu, it is the Oraisa. That is, again, something which is not considered to be appropriate or at all okay. But what you It does give you a bit of an orientation as far as the Chasam Sofer and how he relates to Chumrah. Chasam Sofer is learning the sugya. He's not making things up. Chasam Sofer is going to be comfortable because of the generation he's in, playing up a bit just how Aser it is. Hacharas Aser b'chol makom, he's going to have in particular any concern about new kinds of things. The Chasam Sofer does have tshuvas in which he's mekel, but there's going to be an orientation. One element of his thought is going to be a Chumrah like that. And that, by the way, is not always the worst idea in the world. It's not always the worst idea in the world. There are some situations in which a person can say, based on what's presented here, I want to play something up a little bit more. Again, not in a dishonest way, but I have to know the scene in which I'm in. It's no different than in a certain sense, and again, maybe some would not in this comparison, but in a certain sense, how far you go. But in a certain sense, if you know that you're in a world, you have children, and you're trying to educate them, so you don't want to lie to your children, something is really bad when it's not, but take it out of the realm of halacha for a second. If it's very important that your kids don't run in the middle of the street, so you may say things about, you know, you're not going to say, by the way, don't run in the middle of the street, because, like, there is, like, a 0.01% chance that if you run in the middle of the street at that time, there's going to be a car there that's not going to see you, and something's going to happen. You know, you don't have to be, like, totally, it's appropriate sometimes, I think, to say, like, again, you're not lying, but saying, like, you can get hit by a car in the middle of the street. You don't have to be, like, as precise. It's lahalos, the threat, a little bit. But because there's so much at stake, it's something which is appropriate. And so we're saying a similar idea when it comes to the world of halacha. Now we shift to brisk a little bit. Brisk is different. And brisk, because we spoke a little bit about the derech halimut of brisk, I think we'll be able to understand a little bit better elements of brisk. And it's a very different kind of chumrah. For Chasam Sofer, elements of the Chumrah come from the world outside of Halacha. And for the Chasam Sofer, there's a serious... Again, obviously, Professor Brown has a nice article about Chumrah. There is a... for brisk, they're not as concerned with the external, with the externals. They're not as concerned about the weakness of the generation alike. Brisk lives in its own place, and they're not really always fighting the generation's battles, at least as directly as some others. In the world of brisk, let's point out a couple of things as a hakdama. Brisk is an internal system. Brisk, when you learn brisker's farm, they're not bringing in machshava in the middle of their discussions at all. I don't think any of us have ever seen Herb Chaim and thought like, wow, that's interesting. He just brought in that maral there. That's not happening at all. It's an internal system. We spoke about this a lot. It's a creative system. It's one that very, very much cares about the world of halacha, and that is the dominant influence, more so than anything else. The world of brisk also deals with things that are abstract. We're going to talk about topics in somewhat of an abstract way. The world of brisk also does not publish a lot. Part of being a brisker is a certain kind of like hakpada, that things have to be entirely mukhrach. So brisk does not publish as much. In particular, and they don't learn as much, they're not emphasizing as much practical halakha. A lot of brisk, when you learn, we know this, learning Reb Chaim and the like, is that you're dealing with, you know, a lot of it's in kachin, dafka, which is not halakha ma'isa, and some of that's even intentional. And there's something that you're not focusing as much, and we don't have as much writing as far as, you know, developing the tshuvas and the like. So it's a bit of a challenge in entirely understanding where brisk comes from. So what you're going to really be relying on are some secondary sources and people that are describing brisker chumras and brisker hanhagas. Let's start like this. Biderech klal. I think this is accurate. Source number 11 is a description of it. I think this is accurate. As far as typically, when you're speaking about a brisker chumra, you're talking about a desire to be yotzei l'chol hadeos. You're talking about, I know it says this in Shulchan Aruch, whatever it is, but there are other shittos out there that I want to go and be machmir for. That is a general understanding as far as the world of brisk. Less external, more internal. That means that I'm going to be learning, if I'm buying an esrog, I want to make sure that my esrog is kosher, l'chol hadeos. I want to make sure it's the right color, l'chol hadeos. And what brisk has done in a certain sense is they've expanded and they've tapped into shittos that people really hadn't paskined like, in order to sort of bring that back a little bit. I'll give you a good example of a brisker chumrah. It's one that's there in source number 12 of Sternbach on Chuvas van Hagos. In Chelek Dalet, at the way end of his Chuvas there, he has a collection of Hanhagos of Reb Chaim. Whether these are all true or not true, I don't know, but here's one that's very clear. There is discussion in the fourth parak of Masechet Menachos, I think I'll be giving shiur on this summer, about Tcheles and Lavan. The mitzvah d'oraisa of tzitzis requires both tcheles and lavan. Requires tcheles and lavan. Even many of the people in this room who may wear tcheles and the like, so for at least most of the people I think in this room, that's probably because you think it's a suffix if you have tcheles. Not that we're positive that the tcheles we have necessarily tcheles, but suffix d'oraisa l'chumra, you know, it may or may not be a good idea. When you're talking about that, we have to deal with the following issue. The Mishnah, the Gemara, we already talked about this there in the Gemara Masechet Menachos. Are they ma'akev each other? Can I still wear lavan if I don't have tcheles? Let's say, for example, that you maintain that there is not for sure tcheles nowadays. So can you still wear lavan? Are lavan and tcheles ma'akev each other? The majority view, and I think most of us, we all know this because we are wearing tzitzis and know people that wear tzitzis, that when that we assume b'derech klal, the tcheles and lavan are not ma'akvin du'ezu, that you can wear lavan even if you're not wearing tcheles. It's all good. It's all good. You can wear lavan even without tcheles. The Baal HaMa'or, however, was of the opinion. The Baal HaMa'or was of the opinion that maybe we're ma'akvin dafka on wearing tcheles. That's only you really do need tcheles also. That's one shita. If you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, so the Rambam does sound in Hilchos Shabbos that we know there's an Isser of Hotzah on Shabbos. You're not allowed to go outside and carry on Shabbos unless there's an Erev there. And if you're really a brisker, there's a good chance you're not relying on the Erev that is under discussion. So you're going outside and you want to wear tchelas. It looks in the Rambam that you have a chashash, that the tzitzis here are not really part of my beged. So are the strings considered to be carrying? So if you look in the Rambam, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos, Parakites, that talas hamitzuyetzes kihilchosah, Mutter latzes ba bein bayom bein balayla, that you can go outside with tzitzis, assuming that they are mitzuyetzes kihilchasa. Say that tzitzis hagemura, it sounds in the Rambam the way that at least Reb Chaim learned it. The only time you can go outside on Shabbos are when you, is when you're going out is when you're wearing real tzitzis with tcheles also. That's not a shita which is recorded classically in halachas svarim, nor is it a shita that people typically hold up. But briskers, there are briskers who are knowing, this comes from Reb Chaim here, that Reb Chaim would not wear tzitzis outside on Shabbos. Reb Chaim, you know, it's like, there are other Jews that have that minhag also. But Reb Chaim, in his own way, for different reasons, knew the Jews because they're mocked for the Baal Mor. So Reb Chaim, when he would go outside on Shabbos, would not wear his tzitzis outside, at least so says Reb Schoenbach. Why would he not wear his outside on Shabbos? Because he's nizer for shitas ha Rambam, the way he learned the Rambam, that if I have to go outside, what am I going to be able to do? Now, part of it's because the Rambam becomes a dominant person for the world of brisk. There are times where in brisk, there would be Mekel, Dafka, like the Rambam, also Psim Chazel, the Dine of brisk, definitely had some kulas there also. But part of what you have here is the fact that no one was doing this doesn't bother us that much. We're going to have a chumrah that wasn't really done. We're going to have a chumrah that wasn't done in a way that is also looks like a bit of a kula, because I'm not wearing tzitzis outside now. But that, according to Reb Chaim, that's a certain kind of orientation. If you look in source number 13, you get a bit more insight into here. Again, we're trying to rehabilitate shitos that maybe we're not paskin like, but I want to try to be machmir for that. Again, there are kulas here also, but I want to highlight the chumer side at least for this week. Sefer Torah Chaim HaTorah, it's a wonderful sefer. They quote a ma'isa here about the Brisker Rav. She'echad shalo, so yom den rabbeinu v'neimak kvoda kol kach ma'ach meredaktik b'chol mitzvah. This is an amazing insight. The Chasam Sofer would agree that he's being machmir. Chasam Sofer would say, I'm laha'alos ha'iser, I'm going to be machmir. The Brisker Rav was asked, why are you always so machmir? You're meredaktik for every small thing. So Brisker Rav said, I'll ask you a question. When you get your beged to the tailor, when you take your suit to the tailor, do you want it to fit like your entire body properly, or you want to just make sure that, like, you know, you more or less have it down pat? Obviously, says the Brisker Rav, you want it to be totally shalim and totally perfect, because if you're chaser any part of that beged, the whole suit is a messed up suit. It has to all really be good. Who adin, said Brisker Rav, when it comes to Torah and mitzvos, that if you're missing some of the dikdukim, if I'm mekayim the mitzvah, but I'm mekayim the mitzvah without all of the individual hakpadas that I could have there, it's not bishlei musa. The mitzvah itself is lacking in a certain sense. Therefore, said the Brisker Rav, or it's why they're noach to say in brisk, that in brisk we're not machmir, in brisk we are medaktik. There are no chumras in brisk. Chumras sound to be external. Chumras sound to be somewhat extra, extraneous. No, in brisk, we are just very, very mach, but in the midst of tzitzis, I'm looking at tzitzis, and I'm saying, that mitzvah, what is the best way, all the dikdukim, for me to be knowing, for me to be as careful as possible to fulfill that mitzvah bishlei musa? As this Professor Brown points out, which is a good insight, for the Chasam Sofer, what motivates him in Chumrah is dafka the way that people are going to relate to things. The motivator for Chumrah is about people. In the world of brisk, and in many ways this is brisk l'shitasam, the motivator of chumrah is the abstract mitzvah. The mitzvah demands that we're very, very machmir. Talk about the people, the mitzvah has to be a shalem mitzvah. And how do I make it a shalem, complete mitzvah? When I'm nizer for all of its dikdukim, when I'm nizer for all of its different elements, that's at least an orientation of the world of brisk. Let's talk about what we've mentioned so far so we can now approach the Chazan Ish and be able to see, I think, a couple of interesting elements here in the Chazan Ish. Okay, the Chazon Ish's take is like this. There's a lot to speak about the Chazon Ish. Obviously, he wrote a lot. I want to talk about elements of his chumras, and we're trying to analyze today, I guess, more almost from like a machshava perspective, some of these things. Chazon Ish, let's start like this. Chazon Ish has a certain affinity for the world of the Gra. One of the things that the Gra did, which the Chazon Ish did also, very, very famously, in a bunch of contexts, is we're going to look at text. We're going to learn text well. And what the minhag always was does not bother us. It is not determined that much. If I'm learning and it becomes clear to me that halacha should be a certain way, so then I'm not going to be as concerned, number one, with the way it always was done. Minhag ha'olam is not the biggest factor always, especially if I think that there's conclusive evidence that minhag is incorrect. A very famous example is the Chaznish Narchaim and Simad Lamatas, Kuntris Hashi'urim. We know there are a lot of machlokes, it's like the one thing you got to know. A lot of machlokes are about Shi'urim, how big is a Revias, how big is a Kazayas, etc. All you have to know is Chaznish, very large Shi'urim. Now, in truth, that, as the Chaznish points out, that's a Chumrah, it's also a Kula. Because big shiurim often are chumras, let's say, for kiddush and things like that. It also has kulas as far as like how much you're allowed to consume in certain, like on Yom Kippur, things like that. You'll have certain kulas that may emerge as a result. And again, the Chaznish, their discussion, how much is more machmir, how much is more makel in the cases. But the starting point is, the Chaznish, as far as orientation goes, does not really feel as much bound by what's always done. So the Chaznish is going to be mechadesh, questions of shiurim. If you wear Chaznish tzitzis, if you go to the store, you'll see they are significantly, they're larger. If you are going to make kiddush in a cup, that cup itself is going to be, you know, much, much larger. I think there's a maisa that they say over, I think Rabbi Kevin has this maisa over, it's not a bad example for illustrating the point, that Rav Mendel Zaks, who was the Chavetz Chaim's son-in-law, I think they moved to Eretz Yisrael maybe, when he passed away, his wife was there as an almana. And Bachrim from the area would come over and make Kiddush on the Kiddush cup. And one of the Bachrim comes over to make Kiddush in her house to come for the Shabbos meal and says to her, by the way, like, I don't know if you know, but I really don't think this is like a mutter cup to make Kiddush on, and requests a bigger kos. At which point she responds, you can do whatever you want, but that's my father's Kiddush cup. That's the Chavetz Chaim's Kiddush cup, which you just, you know. The Chavetz Chaim was not the Chaznish was very, very machmir with shiurim, and therefore the shiurim are going to be a little bit different. What's interesting is that the Chaznish may have had, not just because he doesn't feel that bound by things, the Chaznish also, and this I think is an important term, a lot of some chumras come because of sfeikos, some chumras come because I can't resolve things, and therefore I have to be machmir. That's one element of Chaznish that comes up sometimes. Absent a clear hachra, sometimes maybe there isn't enough evidence. I would think, and I can't say this is true for sure, if what we said about Derech HaLimud is really true, that for the Chaznish, a lot of it emerges more directly from the text as opposed to abstract ideas, it makes sense that there'd be a lot of context in which you wouldn't be able to say for sure what the halacha would be. Because sometimes I don't have enough to work off of as far as Chazal and Rishonim to answer all questions, especially if I needed to emerge much more from text. But there is something else about the Chaznish that may have led to a certain orientation as far as Chumrah. This Professor Lawrence Kaplan points out, it's a couple places in Emunah Bitachon, and it is very, very interesting. The Chaznish, and this we know from when we spoke about the Chaznish in Talmud Torah, the Chaznish Dafka emphasized in his letters a lot on Melas. As opposed to the Rug, we spoke a lot about creativity, the Chaznish talks a whole lot about Amelas. Hard work. But the Chaznish, that's very, very significant. A lot of things dafka occur there. If you look at Emunah Bitachon, let's go like this. Look at source number 17 here. Emunah Bitachon Dalates. Says Chaznish, V'karav ha'davar lomar. This is really like he's challenging the Vardak here. I don't have much, sorry, it's on my sheet. He's challenging the Vardak here. Nevardik was very into the way that you are going to be able to grow, said the Alta Nevardik, the way that you're going to be able to grow and develop in Midos is by accepting upon yourself Nisyonos. Not classic halach Nisyonos, but new Nisyonos, those are things that are going to challenge you and to build you and better. Says the Chaznish as follows, V'karov hadavar lomar, ki diktuk hadin, hu haderech hayichida latikin hamidos. The only way that you're going to get better Midos, the only way, is by being very much makbid on halacha. Again, this section I'm going to be talking about in many ways a critique of the Musar movement. You're not allowed to accept nisyonos upon yourself. Meaning, don't do what Nevardik does. Don't accept upon yourself more nisyonos if you think they'll become better as a result. Adarabah, you can't go to a place
we're going to have Nisayon. But dafka through dikta kamidos, dikta b'halacha, I'm going to be able to do that. Also in Dal Zion, a bit earlier there, he also writes like that. That mitzvos, it's a nice way of saying it here. Yatzalanu derech hashimos otikin hamidos, shmiras halacha. The way that you get better midos is by keeping halacha and being very medactic by halacha. Ki amnam hamitzvos hamasiyos betzivyona shetchi kifi matzvan hakayem, b'shus hamonim kal himosham v'lasosam. In the world, they think, the average person thinks, it's very easy to mekayim Torah mitzvos. It doesn't really demand that much. He says, but kvedim heim meod le'ele hayodim chomer hadin v'asher ahavas halacha kvua beliba. Says the Chazon Ish, those who really know what's going on, those who know chumras hadin, those who are more knowledgeable, those who have more yerushamayim, those who are more in touch, says Chazon Ish, they are people who know that there's so much at stake, and it's so hard to keep halacha. It's a lot to do it right. Rav Amalo, as an example, limso tefillin kilchasan. You work so hard to find kosher tefillin. Esro kilchaso. Tzitzis kilchasan. Then what happens, says Chazon Ish, yichudas etzlo safek chadas asher lo hirgishbo. You spent a long time looking for your esrog, a long time trying to get the perfect tzitzis, and you finally get it, and then a new safik. Asher lo hirgush bo mirosh. I didn't know about something. I realized, oh my gosh, maybe I should also be machmer for this. Maybe this is like a little bit of a safik. Maybe that small dot that I thought was in the lower third, really it's not so much. And then what do you have to do? V'chol amalo lirik. All that work that you just had has now been an utter and complete waste. V'tzarech lihilachim b'midosav. You have to fight all your midos then, the mid of atzlus of laziness, to get back and be mekayim halacha properly. If you don't know that much, says the Chazon Ish, again, we're channeling Chazon right now, if you don't know that much, so you go to a store and you see an esrog, and you say, oh, that's nice, and you pick it up and you're good to go. But if I really know things well, I know how much, how chashuv it is to have a good esrog, and I know the halacha as well, and I have legit Yerushalayim Chazon Ish, and I know that that's also the only way I'm ever going to fix my, that's how you fix your good midos. That's where you go. By then giving it up, sometimes you're going to have, it's going to cost you, says the Chazon Ish, a lot of money. Sometimes it's going to cause mekushar bibizayon b'nei adam. People are going to make fun of you. They're going to say you're crazy. You're washing before you are eating your, you know, potato bereka. You're nuts. So Chazon, that's where your midos come. That's where you start growing a little bit. What you see from Chazon Ish is the following, and this is something which I think reflects in orientation. This is Professor Orskan points out, it reflects an orientation that very much encourages the world of Chavra. For the world of the Chasam Sofer, Chumrah is because generations in a tough spot. Chadash Asim in our Torah, we have to do our best to hold the line, and sometimes Lahalos HaYisr. At least that's how it's often said over. For the world of Brit, it's because you want to mekayim the mitzvah b'shleimusa. But this idea of the mitzvah shleimus, it's about bringing back shitos, dechuyos. In Brit, it doesn't seem to be really about sfeikos, and they don't view it as machmer, they view it as medaktikim. For the Chazon Ish, so again, I feel less bound by what was done previously. I have a good deal of sfeikos. But for the Chazon Ish, it's very important. There's no presumption that keeping halacha is supposed to be easy. There's no fear of chumrah at all. There's no presumption of kula. It's not true. It's not supposed to be easy. Says the Chazon Ish, it can be very, very hard. And adra, the dafka, it is hard. And because it's hard, that's what's going to make you great. How are you going to really be able to ever fix your midos to become an elevated person? How am I ever going to make sure, because chumras hadin, I'm going to be able to do that? It's by virtue of that commitment to dikduk b'halacha, which is heavy. The Chazon Ish enters the sugya not saying halacha is easy. He enters the sugya by saying halacha is heavy. Halacha is intense. And therefore, if I want to be able to do it, I have to know this is legit. This is real. And I'm going to enter it. So sometimes I'll be makel when I think that that's the halacha is really to be makel. But when I enter a sugya, part of what comes in is an orientation towards the world of halacha. Which is one of the Chazon Ish asked about Talmud Torah also. It was a book about a while ago. The Chazon Ish
going over Shakla Vitaria, just going over it again and again, is not so enjoyable. But if you keep on fighting, amelas, eventually you'll taste that oneg. But the process is a heavy process. The process is a challenging one. It's going to demand a lot from you and what you could do. And the Chaznish says that same thing is true when it comes to the world of halacha. It's hard and it's heavy, but that orientation is going to lead you to a certain kind of chumrah, as opposed to the mahalach, which is halacha is a way to make your life more enjoyable. Halacha is a way to provide structure for you, but halacha, koach tehira adif, etc. You know, and things like that. I want to chazer what we spoke about, and I want to end with a couple of points. How many people are here next Friday morning? Okay, we'll see. Maybe we'll go for one more, I think. But whatever, we'll see if we can pull it off. I'm really into this. I like the Chaznish a lot. It's really interesting. I knew nothing about the Chaznish a month ago. This is like really exciting for me. We tried to talk about the world of Chumran Kula. We live in a world, many of us, in which Koach Tehatera Adif, the Gemara Beit, there's a lot to be said for the world of Kula. Some of us daven in shuls with some very well-known mekilim as rabbis, it's possible. And there's a lot to be said for the value of kula and the fallout of chumrah. We did not talk about any of that today. We spoke about some of the times in the Monday night shiurim, some of the fallout of chumrah and the like. What I want to do today, which I think is an important way of understanding different communities, we focused on three people who are all very impactful in worlds that are associated on some level with chumrah. And what we're trying to point out is that the world of Chumrah can come from a bunch of different places. And Chumrah can be sometimes for internal reasons. I happen to sugya that way. But here we're talking about people who are going for more. In the world of Bris, sometimes it's bringing out other Shitos and trying to be extra machmi for them. It's really a function of Dikduk Bahalacha. According to the Chasam Sofer, it's about drawing a line sometimes, Kitchar's Asar Min HaTorah, and sometimes even playing things up. And according to the Chazon Ish, it's about an orientation towards the world of halacha, of text being dominant, and then halacha being heavy, but it allowing us the opportunity to become better people as a result, as far as the general orientation. Not all people that are machmir, we learned a couple of things that are important. Not all people that are machmir view themselves as being machmir. Some view themselves as keeping the ikar hadin. What one person calls a chumrah, another does not necessarily consider to be a chumrah. It's also true that what we spoke about here as far as chumras, the way that what we were not doing was counting up how many times is chashnis machmir and how many times is chashnis meko. When you want to talk about chumra and kula, so one question is a bottom line question. What we were trying to point out today is you have to understand the background and the orientation. There are different orientations that may often lead you, at least in specific areas, to have a little bit of chumra. We tried, in case we don't have next week, we tried over the course of this man to be able to understand the thought of the Chazon Ish in a much deeper way. We've tried to be able to appreciate through his letters and a bit of Emunah Bitachon some of the unique contributions of the Chazon Ish, how he spoke about contemporary issues, how he spoke about related to Talmud Torah and the like. He's not a Baal Machshava in the way that the Maharal was at all. Very, very different as far as Maharal's working off of a Gadatas, how you pick apart a Gadatas. That's what we spoke about a lot this year. In Elo, we spoke even about the Chalban a little bit, a very different world than the Chazon Ish, I think it's safe to say. And those are different models as to how Machshava can be learned. You can have someone like the Maharal again, who's with the Agadata, innovative and creative, and talking about, you know, how you read things in non-literal ways, in a certain sense, and ideas on other levels that emerge from things. And the Chazon Ish is talking about things in a very different angle. Chazon Ish is talking about, we quoted Chazon Ish some contemporary issues. We spoke a lot about the way that he relates to even issues like Derech Halimud, how he relates to Psak, Chumras, how he relates to people to Jews who are not from, to Amunas Chachamim. One of what we've tried to, I think, been able, hopefully, to appreciate this year, and part of what we do in this slot, is to try to give us an understanding of the world of Machshava and to become a bit more sophisticated about the world of Machshava. One of the things that a person's going to be able to see, the more that you learn, that just like in the world of Lamdas, there are many different ways of learning, you know, say regular Gemara Kalacha, there are many different ways of learning Machshava.
But it is something which I believe to be an incredibly significant part of any sort of shalem ben Torah, those who are aspiring, to think we spend so much time in the world of Gemara and Halacha, and that's so important. But for us to really become more sophisticated and more shalem, it's great to learn about some people, especially sometimes those who are not the dominant figures in our world. The Chazanish is not the dominant figure in our world. The Maharal is not the dominant figure, you know, in the world. When I was in the old Y.A. based Medrash, I think, I don't know how many Maharals there were at all. Now a bit more, probably through, you know, Moshe Weinberger and some others. But there wasn't that much. And for us to become more familiar with them, I think we'll become broader. I think we'll become more sophisticated. And I think we'll be able to approach a range of issues in a better way, and we'll be more familiar with some of the great Baalei Machshava and great giants of Torah who have been able to shed light for us on some of those things. Shkayach, guys.